Hi folks, we're going to go ahead and get started. We want to make the most of this very short hour that we have together and give you adequate time to communicate with us and share your thoughts and your feelings with us. My name is Jim Murphy. As you may have heard through some of the other sessions, I've been the executive director here at Sunstone for about 4 months, which is pretty much safe to say that that's the total amount of my experience with Sunstone is the last 4 months. I have been incredibly moved on so many levels and in so many ways for what's been happening the last 2 days, 3 days, counting Wednesday, and for what's going to be happening in the next day and a half. This is a phenomenal place to be. Sunstone is a phenomenal organization, and this community, I am just so proud and delighted to be a part of at this time. We're going to start just with a simple reading. First, I'll introduce my colleagues here. Bill McGee, who's figuring out how to turn the mic on, is our board chair, and that has been something that's been in effect about as long as I've been executive director. He is coming. He was the director or the chairman of the Marketing and Communications Committee for the board. Next, we have Stephen Carter, who is our magazine editor.
I think so, yeah.
Hey, you're looking at me like I like you weren't. And Lindsay Park, who is our director of outreach and communications and marketing. Michael is the immediate past chair of the Sunstone Board of Directors, and now he's serving as the chairman of the education committee for the board. And Mary Ellen, who's a pretty permanent fixture here, is our director of symposium. And we're very delighted to be with you to celebrate Sunstone, to rejoice in Sunstone, and to get some feedback from you as well as sharing a few things with you. We have been transitioning since just after the first of the year to a little more structured organization that has more board involvement on a regular basis. So we are implementing a number of committees to start things off. As we said, the MarCom committee, also the education committee. We have a fundraising committee and a finance committee as well. And we're constantly recruiting new blood for all of our committees as well as for the board. So we are right now a board of six, which has dropped a little bit from what has been in the past. We have a statement of responsibility that we share with our board members to give them an idea for what their responsibilities would be as a board person, as well as serving as some sort of a review on an annual basis for just how they're doing as a board member. We have put together a matrix of characteristics that we're looking at for all of our board members and for certain committee members. And so we're very excited about the prospect of growing Sunstone, of expanding Sunstone, increasing its reach, and letting people know that we're here and that we have something to offer everyone. One of the things that I'm most excited about, and Dan mentioned this, I think, in his comments last night when we were kind of celebrating the 40th anniversary and revisiting many of the past things, was he was kind enough to read the mission statement. And I'd like to start off with that and get us all on common ground for who we are. The mission of the Sunstone Education Foundation is to sponsor open forums of Mormon thought and experience. Under the motto, Faith Seeking Understanding, we examine and express the rich spiritual, intellectual, social, and artistic qualities of Mormon history and contemporary life. We encourage humanitarian service, honest inquiry, and responsible interchange of ideas that is respectful of all people and what they hold sacred. And we're going to stay very mission-driven. If there's one thing the future of Sunstone will be, it is mission-driven. We are going to strive diligently to become inclusive to all people and to make sure that everyone has a home in Sunstone and can express their views and their feelings. Have you possibly picked this up yet downstairs or get it in the mail? It's our 40th anniversary of the magazine. Do most of you have access to that? If you don't, there's some downstairs, and kudos to Stephen for putting this together and making it such a great commemorative issue. But we as a board sat down and put together a statement that kind of answers the ongoing question of the relevance of Sunstone this day and age. So I'd like to, if you haven't read it yet, read it to you and then kind of open up for just some quick presentations, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes from each of the panel members, and then invite you for some questions. Mormonism is a vibrant religious and cultural tradition with a diverse membership that is has widely differing needs. For many Latter-day Saints, one of these needs is the free and frank exploration of gospel truths as they relate to the complexities of today's society. Some crave stimulating discussions of contemporary scholarship, literature, and social issues. Others find great comfort in reading, hearing, and sharing personal faith journeys, including all their twists and turns and occasional uncertainties. Given the growth of online communities and the burgeoning field of Mormon studies, we're sometimes asked whether the Sunstone Education Foundation, now celebrating 40 years, is as relevant as it once was. While the Internet has provided individuals with unprecedented access to information and the ability to connect with like-minded individuals, it is a medium with a very short, quote, memory, end quote. New and sometimes controversial issues constantly clamor for attention, making a sense of history and reflection difficult to maintain. Through its forums, including symposia, magazines, firesides, lectures, and online communities, Sunstone strives to maintain both vibrant online discussion forums and reflective spaces where important issues can receive sustained exploration. Sunstone is a place where scholars, students, seekers, and those simply engaged in faithful inquiry can participate together as they study faith, history, science, healthy sexuality, philosophy, the arts, gender, and Mormon culture. The Sunstone Education Foundation sponsors open forums on Mormon thought and experience by bringing together people from all points along the continuum of Mormon belief and interest. We foster an atmosphere that respects both faith and doubt, intellectual and spiritual inquiry, and experiential integrity. Sunstone examines and expresses the rich spiritual, intellectual, social, and artistic qualities of Mormon history and contemporary life in all of its diversity. We encourage compassion, humanitarian service, honest inquiry, and a responsible and vigorous interchange of ideas that is respectful of all people, their experience, and what they hold sacred. Because of our longstanding status in the LDS community, we are sometimes asked to support causes or advance certain specific views. In order for us to remain true to Sunstone's mission of providing an open forum for discussion that gives voice to all views and opinions, we avoid taking positions, instead creating forums that allow individuals with differing viewpoints to have thoughtful and respectful discussion. That's why, 40 years later, Sunstone is as important, vibrant, and relevant as ever. And with your active participation, ongoing encouragement, and generous support, we're looking forward to another 40 more. And then we close by thanking you for celebrating this historic occasion with us. So that's who we are. That's who we're striving to become better at being. And now I'd like my colleagues here to just take a few seconds and share some of their thoughts and feelings about where we are now and where we might be going. We had a great history lesson last night, and this particular session will be focused on our future.
Awesome. We just start here, I guess.
Yeah.
Work down.
You can stand up if you want.
All right. I've got a microphone here. I'm going to do a Paul Toscano and just stay here in my chair.
You have to be witty and erudite.
I better stand up. I love Sunstone. I love what it stands for. It's become a home for me when it's more difficult to have a home sometimes. Not that I don't have them. I'm in one of those kind of in between places, right, where I'm an active member of the church, but I'm also engaged in some levels of inquiry that don't always make that the best place for me. And so I like that Sunstone broadens the tent that the church itself doesn't always very good at doing. And so by broadening this tent, it's more inclusive of people of different. I have children who are gay and transgender. I have family members along the whole spectrum from having left through to people who are very, very centered in the gospel. And so this is that perfect place for me. Coming from a background, I have a unique history that really lends itself to this space. My ancestors came across the plains with the pioneers, but then my grandmother left the church, just became inactive, and so my mom and I, as her child, were raised Catholic. But then missionaries found us, and my mom joined the church, and her mom goes, "Oh yeah, I'm Mormon." And my husband went, "What?" And so I get to have that kind of conversion and pioneer story at the same time. And so I feel like then, and given so the spectrum of places that my family's in, and this kind of dual history that I have, Sunstone's like the only place where I can really fit. And so the opportunity to participate in a meaningful way is really good, because you know, I'll probably never have a calling in my ward. So this is my thing. So this is my place. So welcome. I mean, this is my family. This is my church. This is where I worship to a very large degree. And so I'm very happy to be part of it.
I'm going to stand up. Is that right?
Yeah.
I was under the impression that I was going to give like a little report type thing of what's happened over the past year.
Go for it.
Magazine.
Again?
Right?
You did that yesterday.
No. That was the past 40 years. I was going to sort of zoom in on the last year.
Go for it.
Okay, so last year when we had a town hall meeting, we were talking about heading into a new look for Sunstone. As those who were lucky enough to have attended my scintillating 40-year retrospective on Sunstone. what was I talking about before I started talking about me?
The magazines.
Oh, yeah, the magazine. So for the past 28 years, we've been actually running on the same beautiful, I must admit, layout for the magazine. It's been going since 1986, I think. And so it has a very classic look, you know, sort of New Yorker-ish with a bit of Atlantic Monthly thrown in. It had a gorgeous Berkeley font. And yeah, and it had this nice heavy paper that will last and as long as golden plates will last. So Chris Briggs came on board, and he and his design firm, Radiate Creative, put together a new look for us that is quite modern and new, which you have seen if you've gone into if you've looked at Sunstone recently, and it's also in full color, which I think is way cool, because we were operating in black and white for a long time. So, for example, now I can put together spreads like this with all this color and these big graphics and stuff like that, and with colored headlines and having palettes instead of just black and white. So in that way, Sunstone has become a completely different magazine as far as its look and its feel. And it also has this glossy paper, which makes it a little bit more like the consumer magazines that you receive, like Time and Business Week and stuff like that. And admittedly, this paper isn't going to last as long as the former paper we have, but, you know, color. That was what mattered to me. Color! So that's the main thing that's happened. We have made the transition from our old style into our new style. You probably also noticed that we have a lot more shorter columns. Our previous CEO Adam Ford did a fantastic job, not only of bringing Chris Briggs and Bill, and also helped bring Jim on board. He also helped us to get this new magazine together. And what else? I was just about to say something else. This is terrible. All right, so we have this new magazine. It looks great. Oh, yeah, and he also brought on a bunch of new columnists. So we have people like Eloise Bell. We have Damon, what's his name, who did the cultural history of the Book of Mormon. Damon Smith. He's also going to show up. And we also have Natasha Hefner.
Oh, Parker.
I am so awful today. Don't tell anybody that I said their names badly, please.
Don't worry. No one's
recording it. Oh, yeah. This isn't going to make it out to anybody. And we also have Josh and Ron Madsen, who are giving us stuff. And so we have all of this new stuff that you get to read, along with all the great stuff like the fiction. We have some fantastic fiction that's coming up. We have full-color art. We have some fantastic essays that are coming up. And I was thinking about Alan Roberts' idea last night that we should have some more sort of themed issues, kind of like the one that Holly Welker guest edited, the one about motherhood, which turned out so gorgeously and with such fantastic content. So you guys can tell me if you have an interest in that. I guess we just did another themed issue, the 40th anniversary issue. I enjoy doing those. It's fun to focus, but it's also fun to just have everything in its dog. So going forward, we're going to be having pretty much more of the same new stuff. If there's like other authors and stuff you'd like to see in there, or other topics you'd like us to cover. Because one of the main things that we do as a magazine, since we're not a blog at all and we're not a Facebook feed, we go into things in depth, but still with a populist edge. And so, you know, anybody with a college education can go in and just and understand what's going on. It's our job to make the discourse immediately available to anyone who's willing to sit down and read, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 words. So if there's something that you think we should really go into and find space for, let me know, and we'll get into it. Thank you.
I'll stand up, too. My gosh, you're tall, Sue. Okay, my name is Lindsay Park, and I'm relatively new to Sunstone. They brought me on about a little over a year ago. And when I came into Sunstone, I had kind of heard rumors like, oh, you know, Sunstone needs to appeal to younger crowds, right? And so I'm on Facebook a lot, and I want to define younger crowds because I think this is an offensive term. I've learned a lot this year. So when I say younger crowds, I don't think we're talking about age. I think we're talking about sort of technology, because there is a huge online community, which I can see people out there that I know that a lot of you are a part of. And I think when people talk about the younger crowds versus the older crowds, I think that there has been this conception of Sunstone, of this divide between the old way of doing Sunstone and like the possible new way of doing Sunstone. And so we've been looking at ways to bridge sort of those gaps. And it's been really challenging, and I have to say, when I came on, like, anyone that's worked with me knows, to their eternal frustration, I am full of energy and full of ideas, so I came in, like, hardly having any institutional knowledge, and I was like, we need to do this and this and this and this and this, and everyone was like, okay, settle down just a little bit, and so it's been a really good learning experience for me, and humbling in a lot of ways, because coming from an online sort of Mormonism versus like seeing the institutional importance of Sunstone has been really great for me. And I've learned a lot, for example, that it's offensive when I say young versus old. That is one thing that I've learned. And I've also learned that there is great value in the way that Sunstone has been doing things. And I've also learned that there is this whole new online presence that we need to sort of incorporate. And so that is the challenge of my job, is trying to get this sort of new, fast-moving, like Stephen said, this whole Facebook culture where everything happens really fast. If anyone's online or involved in any sort of Mormon politics, you'll notice that a lot of the big movements making the news are happening online. Ordained Women was organized largely online, and got a lot of traction online. Wear pants to church day online. A lot of the recent LGBT movements are organizing online. That's where a lot of this stuff is happening. And so from my sort of myopic view, like, that's where everything was happening. And it's not, but some of it is happening. And so the challenge, I think, for Sunstone and for all of us, this involves all of us, is to figure out ways to bridge those gaps. Technology has changed everything for institutional Mormon church and also for institutions like Sunstone. And so what's really great is we have a lot of, like, the field is white. There's so many great things that we can do with this, but it's going to take, it's going to take a lot of struggle on both of our parts. We've tried to incorporate some new things this year, like childcare or children's workshops. That was something that was really important to me coming from the feminist community. This is a very feminist issue for me. And from what I'm told, most academic conferences do not provide any sort of children's workshops. So that was something that we did this year. It's a new test, and it was a struggle, you guys. It was so hard to get that going. And so we're testing that out. We're this sort of handcrafters row. Like, you walked on, someone said, it's like the Mormon Comic-Con. Not yet, but we'd like it to be. So, like, there's all these great new exciting things while still valuing the things that have really made Sunstone valuable to people. And so what I'm hoping we can do as, like, a Sunstone people is work together and really figure out ways to bridge this gap without making anyone feel marginalized, without making anyone feel young or old or new or, you know, naive or dumb or whatever. I think this is the challenge for all of us, like, in this new technological age, is to really work together. And so my job is to try to figure that out, and I'm bumbling my way through that, but I think we're getting there. So,
excellent. Well, I'm going to do like Bill. I'll just sit here for a minute. Most of what my energies are focused on now with the board and with my role in the education committee is really stuff that Mary Ellen is responsible and has the privilege of carrying out on behalf of all of us who are part of the Sunstone community. So I'll let her go into those details here in just a minute. But as far as the background and history, my experience is kind of like Bill's. This is my tribe within my tribe. So I've, for a variety of circumstances that were not under my orchestration or control, I've had a front row seat here at Sunstone for quite some time. And I appreciate very much Jim's reading of our mission statement and reminding us of our core values. One of the things that makes Sunstone capable of enduring so long is that it taps into that deeply seated human urge that we have to understand as best we can the underlying essence of things. And it's extraordinary to me when I have run into academic scholars who are not LDS, but have interests either in organizations or cultures or, you know, sociology or religious studies. And I have occasion in my professional job as an academic to discuss with them and share what Sunstone is like. And they can't quite wrap their heads around it. And they're like, oh, so it's like an academic thing? Well, yeah, but we have, you know, housewives doing theology, and we have, you know, lawyers doing history, and, you know, all sorts of permutations that you wouldn't expect. And they just kind of look at me and, you know, politely mutter and then get away as fast as they can. But it's an extraordinary group of individuals, and it's an extraordinary community that's dedicated very passionately to this enterprise of exploring and understanding our faith tradition. That's the other thing that some non-LDS academic colleagues who have come to Sunstone and been with the symposium for a day or two have often commented amazement at just how passionate everybody is about all the topics, all the time, and all the sessions. And that is an extraordinary thing. And Sunstone's able to endure because it taps into that passion, because it has the ability, as best we can, to create an open forum that's inviting. It's not just the BYU professors and the CES employees who have taken umbrage at the Sunstone taint and have not been willing to come and play in our sandbox. Unfortunately, there have been occasionally members of our own liberal progressive community who have taken umbrage and offense at some people who have stepped up to the microphone, either said things or behaved in ways that they took offense to. But that is part of...
No. I'm kidding. Not yet.
Not yet.
Don't leave it a year.
Still early. But one of the realities is that an open forum brings with it inherent risk, and that we have to be willing to carve a space out where we run the very real possibility that others may say or engage with us in ways that offend our sensibilities. And that's not to say we go out of our way to allow it. And, you know, there's some things clearly that that we do our best to draw the line at. But, you know, when you put people in front of a microphone at a symposium and they get into Q&A or conversations in the hallways, despite Mary Ellen's best efforts at making sure we have programs that are thoughtful, responsible, and respectful, you put some people in front of an open mic in a room full of people and all bets are off. So that's not to say that that we're happy when that happens, but at the same time, I have to confess, part of the thinking is that if you attend a 4-day Sunstone symposium and you don't hear at least a couple of things that bother you and that make you feel uncomfortable in some healthy and constructive way, we're probably not doing our job. So thank you for being here.
I would be ungrateful if I did not acknowledge my forebears who planned conferences without the use of this kind of technology. Because this little magic device helps me respond to all the crazy things that go haywire when you're planning a conference and things don't go quite as planned. Like when your film festival director is up all night vomiting and texts you and says, I can't be there. And yeah. So technology helps me do my job on the fly and respond to those kinds of things. So I've been symposium director for 6 years now. This is my 7th Salt Lake Symposium, and it has been quite a ride because there's always something new and interesting. One of the things that I find so energizing about doing this work is that even if people propose sessions on topics that we talk about a lot here, Mormon history, polygamy, women's issues, theology, power and authority in the LDS Church, there is almost always a fresh angle on the topic. It's never the same thing. I don't look through the proposals that come in and say, oh, this again. It's always fresh and new and interesting. And there are always people who are coming newly to the symposium and are having these conversations and entering this space for the first time. And so even if it's a topic that sounds familiar or we've visited many times before in many of these arenas before, There's a way to bring people into the conversation, catch them up to what's been happening in the Mormon intellectual world, and the Mormon intellectual in real life world. And I realize, you know, there are lots of options online to connect and lots of different communities to participate in. But I have always found a lot of value in the face-to-face exploration, the give and take, the Q&A, where you're dealing with other real life people and their feelings, and sometimes we touch raw nerves here, or we touch sensitive topics that people are really trying to process and work their way through and figure out how do I find balance in my Mormon life, my intellectual life. If I'm having trouble finding balance, is there another place to go to help balance things out? So there are a lot of things that happen in these face-to-face encounters with our history and in these presentations and in meeting each other. Last year there was a young scholar who was presenting at the symposium for the first time, and I saw a prominent Mormon scholar approaching us in the hallway, and I said, "That's D. Michael Quinn." And so she had the total fangirl moment. She'd read him, she'd heard about him, and then I got to introduce them. So it was those kind of things really make the in real life experience at the symposium great. And one of the things that I think makes the symposium vibrant is that it's the largest public conference on Mormonism, meaning that if you have a good idea and you can articulate it well and how it connects with the Mormon experience, you can find a place on the program. And you don't have to have a lot of academic credentials or initials behind your name. If you've got a good idea and can and talk about it in a thoughtful way, there is a place for that here. And so I think that helps enlarge the conversation beyond just what happens at strictly academic or academic religious conferences. So there's a lot of life here and a lot of topics here that touch on maybe the more personal side that you won't get at a strictly academic type conference. And I want to talk a little bit about the growth and expanding and the forms that is taking on our symposium schedule. So this fall, coming up on our calendar, is Sunstone West in Southern California, and we alternate between Northern and Southern California every other year. And we also have a Northwest Symposium where we've had events in Seattle and Portland, and the Christ Conference that for the last few years has been scheduled on the Saturday between Christmas and New Year's in Salt Lake City. So it's a way to get at a little bit more devotional topic while we're in the Christmas season and when the materialistic side of Christmas and the lights get put up in October, and you can buy Christmas gear in the stores so early, and we get sidetracked from the message of Christ. This is our effort to bring that back to the forefront in some of our programming. So that's a fairly new conference that we're doing. And in the early spring, we have the Restoration Studies Symposium in Independence, Missouri. And this is a team effort between Sunstone, the John Whitmer Historical Association, and the Community of Christ Seminary, which gives us our meeting space for that event. And we have also, for the last 3 years, done a very successful and beautiful Sunstone-Kirtland Symposium. And we will typically have part of our meetings there in the Kirtland Temple, either a worship service or an evening panel discussion or some kind of devotional. And this spring we had a Mother's Day service in the Kirtland Temple, and it was everything your ward Mother's Day service was not, probably. So all of those, we managed to bypass all the lip service and, you know, one day adoration of women and their uteruses, and talk about the really fundamental things and the relationships that we have and with our own mothers as mothers ourselves, or in my case as a stepmother, try to navigate that. So we were able to really connect with hearts and minds at these kinds of events and truly honor where everybody is on the motherhood spectrum and acknowledging that it's not all roses and pedestals and things like that. And next year, so mark your calendars for this, our Salt Lake Symposium will be once again at the University of Utah, familiar territory for us now since 2012. The dates for that are July 29th through August 1st. And I've also scheduled dates here for 2016, so planning ahead. And the theme for next summer's symposium is kind of exciting. I give props to Holly Welker for coming up with the best themes for 3 or 4 years running now. So next year we're going to focus on the Mormon mind, which will include ideas, ideology, neuroscience, brain chemistry, psychology, all the things that make Mormons tick, and the ways that we advance our ideas and think about things. So that's something to look forward to, and we'll have a call for papers out for that soon and for some of our regional events coming up in the fall. So I like to think of a lot of people connect to Sunstone through the magazine. It's one of the more durable things that you can get wherever you are. But the symposiums are the place where these conversations really come to life for a lot of people. And I started out as a panelist talking about feminist activism at BYU the summer of 1992, and I've kind of never left this space, so it has a way of kind of sucking you in. And if there are any of you who want to get more involved, regional symposiums are a good place to do that. It's a lot easier for us to go into new areas when we have committed people in that region who can help with the boots on the ground setup and things like that. So if you're interested in getting involved in those ways, please come talk to us, because we'd love to hear your ideas. We'd love to hear new places that we can infiltrate with the Sunstone brand. So thank you very much.
Probably one of the most exciting parts for me has been to work with such a great team of people. One of the things I heard last night was, and I can't remember under whose leadership it was, but the importance of weekly staff meetings, of getting everybody together, of making sure that we function as a team, that nobody is in a silo called magazine or symposia or marketing and communications. We are a team of people working together. And this symposium that you're a part of today is a very natural byproduct of that. Lindsay was talking about the children's workshops, she also mentioned a number of other new additions. The program, you'll notice a whole new look to that. The film festival running in conjunction with everything. And we have a little photo booth downstairs with Flat Brigham. And if you haven't had the opportunity to grab some clothes and dress up and put your arm around Good Brother Brigham, you know, you might want to do that and take a picture and put it on Facebook.
Put it online and use the hashtag. Thank you.
And so that's a lot.
I hear he's available, ladies.
This is a lot like our staff meeting, so. So we're excited to be working together as a team to make Sunstone all it can be, but we also value the community we serve. And so we would very much appreciate the opportunity we have now to get some feedback, to get some ideas, to get some comments from you about where we are now and the direction we might want to be going into in the future. And if you have any specific questions for any of us, please come on up and ask.
You're all awesome. I also think of Sunstone as my tribe within my tribe. I feel a lot of devotion to both the symposium and the magazine. And what I really want to ask you, as stewards of my family, is what are you doing to make more money?
Well, I got promoted at work last year.
One of the things... Mike is very generous in his contributions to Sunstone. And one of the things we're implementing is a pretty comprehensive strategy for fundraising, which will include a variety of very proven techniques as well as new and exciting ones. We're exploring some possibilities with a membership program where you actually become a member of Sunstone, and with that comes particular benefits. We have a special event coming up. Does anybody remember what that's called?
I do.
Go ahead.
Brigham's Butter Run?
Brigham's Butter Run, a 5K that's taking place. It's in your program.
Hold on. It's a 5K where you run with a thing of cream and you turn it into butter by the time you run. And we're doing it at Brigham's Dairy House, so that's the name, Brigham's Butter Run.
Like I said, this is a lot like our staff meetings. So, yeah, it's a 5K. We have actually some Brigham's Butter Run shirts downstairs from last year. Our hope is to not only double, but to triple or quadruple the amount of people that came to that. So one of the incentives we're talking about is for each of you to go out and possibly raise your entry fee and then be able to raise additional funds, for which there will be valuable parting gifts and prizes. So... we are consciously aware of the financial situation that Sunstone has been in for, I think, many years, in a month-to-month, quarter-to-quarter sort of a budgetary situation. We have a very generous major donor, but we cannot continue to survive with one or two major gifts a year. We need the J.C. Penney approach of raising a little bit of money from a lot of people and a lot of money from a few people. So, Holly, in answer to your question, it is probably the number one agenda item after the symposium closes to start to implement some of those strategies and to start to move forward. And I would be remiss if I didn't invite and encourage any of you who have an interest in helping, not just in the area of fundraising, but we need a chair for our finance committee. So if you or some other like-minded person who has an affinity towards Sunstone and can work QuickBooks and has an accounting background and would like to join us in our efforts, please send them our way. And if there's any of you that would like to be involved in any of our committees, please let us know that as well. We specifically did not feel it appropriate to ask for money at every single session this time. We wanted you to come and enjoy the symposium without being asked to contribute more money, except for right now when I'm asking you to contribute more money. But other than that, that's the last ask you'll hear from any of us at this particular symposium, but stay tuned. There'll be many opportunities to become more involved at that level. So thanks for the question, Holly.
Quick question. It might be slightly outdated because I haven't checked in a while, but I've heard from people recently. When will the audio, or is it back up, all the past symposium audio? I think that's a high priority, especially if we're trying to get people to discover Sunstone. There's such a richness there. So I'd love to make that a second priority.
Dependent on the first one.
And this kind of ties back into where Jim's at, right? One of the challenges that we're facing... we've got a whole bunch of people working their fannies off to try and get things rolling. We're running literally on a shoestring budget on a lot of stuff, and keeping the lights on us is our top priority. We're working with some fairly ancient technology at Sunstone. We have a database that we have to keep an old version of Windows running in crippled form because it won't run on anything newer than that, right? Yeah. Right?
And so 6 years ago when I left.
Yeah. And so we need to move that into the cloud, right? And we're running on our website, for example, is a cobbled together set of WordPress plugins that when you add something in one place, it breaks something somewhere else. We just simply haven't had the funds necessary to build a real website, right? And that's ultimately what the challenge is to keep that thing up and running. And we need someone who has web experience who can, you know, get us healthy on that. And it's a top priority for us. And we've been talking to some folks, but it's something that, believe me, we really want to fix this.
I have some news on that front. Talked to somebody in the last couple of days who I explained, he wanted to know where the old audio was because there are past sessions he wanted to find and listen to again. And I said, well, I know how to organize all this information, basically 30 years worth of symposium recordings. That's a lot of files. So I've got the organizational side, but I don't have the technology programming side to execute it, to make it go online the way that it will be easy for people to search and find what they're looking for. And so he offered his technical expertise, and I'm sure that his self-interest in wanting to get to those files himself will assist with this matter greatly.
I do want to say one thing about that. Sorry. Just if you guys want to go to Sunstone YouTube, we have a YouTube channel, and we have a very young, talented, very eager film student who's been doing a lot of film for us. If you look in some of the sessions, you'll see him like running around with a camera. He's super excited. He's great. So he has been filming. He filmed our Borderlands conference and our Kate Kelly fireside, and it's on YouTube. And he does a great job. Like, he's just so great. So he's been filming some of the sessions. And so we do have, and the audio is actually awesome on that. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. That would help.
I expect that to take 1 minute. The other one really came up for me when you were talking, Lindsay, earlier. You mentioned the word like energy, your own energy.
Yeah.
And you talked about, I got a couple of words here, the things that are happening.
Sure.
Are happening online and things like that versus, you know, this 40-year history of mostly meeting in person and those kinds of things and through the magazine. And often it seems to me when you think of the things that are happening online, we're thinking of activism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet Sunstone's mission has not been to be activist for anything other than great conversation.
Hosting
people, you know, careful consideration and things like that. And so I don't know how to create enthusiasm for, hey, let's have a good conversation, you know, versus, hey, let's go change this or do that or something. So I don't know. Are we committed still to hosting the good discussions? And if so, what I'd love to see is just great ideas for how to create an enthusiasm similar to, you know, we can really get things done online that's normally activism driven. So
this is obviously something I'm very passionate about, and like I said, I have exhausted these fine people up here with this, because when I came in, I was like, you know, because, you know, progressive Mormonism for me is activist-based, even if I wouldn't call it that. I'm a blogger for Feminist Mormon Housewives. I have the podcast there. It's very, you know, I'm a doer. I get stuff done. And so we've had many, many discussions about this because it's something that I'm very interested in, and I think that that's where we get a lot of the energy, like you said. But one of the humbling, learning, educating experiences that I've had from working here is that Sunstone is more a reflective organization, and there is wisdom in that, right? Because it's lasted for 40 years, and let me tell you, Sunstone has a Facebook group called the Mormon Hub. And when I first started it, it had a messy beginning, but I really thought, like, hey, we're going to get, like, active Mormons and, like, ex-Mormons. They're going to get along, and it's going to be a place, like, where we talk about Mormonism. And that was,
How'd that work for you?
Go on the Mormon Hub, you can see. So it's nearly impossible, right? It's nearly impossible for various reasons why that doesn't happen. But Sunstone, like the symposium, is one of the very few places that I know of that actually like successfully does this, like where anyone can come and they like respectfully talk. So I'm really seeing the value in that. So to answer your question to how to get enthusiasm, I really am focused on cultural aspects, like the Flat Brigham or Geraldine's food panel. I don't know if you guys went to that. I really think Mormon culture, as flawed and problematic as it can be something that we can all relate to, at least from an American standpoint, but that's expanding and we're going to learn. So I think culture is a way that we can really get excited about things. I think exploring culture, I think poking fun at culture, I think deconstructing culture, all of those things are really fun. And I think that we still need to honor some of the reflective traditions of Sunstone.
Let me add something to that. And we're doing this in other ways, right? We don't have to be in the at the front of the crowd in order to have a meaningful role in the conversations that are happening, right? We had the Kate Kelly fireside, where we didn't have to take a side, but we created a space for voices to be heard. And I think that's really probably the fundamental role that we play, is that there are a lot of disenfranchised people in the church. There are a lot of disenfranchised people outside of the church who have no voice. They have no place to communicate. And that's our job, is to be that clearinghouse. I mean, if you look online, right, there's all of these siloed organizations, right? And I'm chatting about this and I'm chatting about that and everybody. But there's no place for those people to come together and talk to each other, because they're talking past each other. And so as much as we can, we want to create these opportunities for those voices to be heard, to put them in front of a microphone, bring an audience in front of them and have them have a chance to talk. We don't have to take a position. We all personally have positions. I mean, don't get us wrong. We are very passionate, and we all agree that if I personally have a position on something, I can say it, but I just can't represent Sunstone by doing it. But I can create a fireside where Kate Kelly can come and talk about the issues that are in front of her, because it's meaningful to a community of people who need to hear that. And so I think that's how we get in front of that, is we create these forums for conversation for people who don't have another opportunity to talk.
Hey, segueing on your fireside, is this on?
If you don't touch me.
I first got involved, other than reading the magazine, in the monthly firesides that you held at the location on East, out on the west side. And that's where I got enthusiastic, because I don't necessarily do the internet, I don't necessarily do blogging, I don't do any of that stuff, because I am of the older generation. It's not my way to connect to the world. And so I'm wondering, this Kate Kelly fireside, do you have anything where you would have a users group, where there's monthly activities or monthly, I don't know, some kind of face-to-face other than, anyway, a monthly something, users group?
In addition to the number of events that Mary Ellen mentioned that have been pretty traditional throughout each year, the addition of firesides is something that we're hoping to implement on a minimum of a quarterly basis. We're hoping to take the Borderlands concept on the road. So if, for those of you that were able to attend the Salt Lake version of Navigating the Borderlands, we'd like to take that up north to Ogden. We'd like to take it down south to Provo. We'd like to take it to other communities around not only Utah, but around the country. So we have great ideas and great plans and great enthusiasm for what the future of Sunstone will be. There was a mental health lecture a short time ago that came to pass, and we do need to do a little bit better job of getting that information out to everyone, of using every available forum to make sure that people are knowing that these are going on. But there is no shortage of ideas. We know what needs to be done, and with the input and support of the Sunstone community, those things will be implemented as quickly as humanly possible. So we have some great ideas and some great places we hope to go. So thanks. Really grateful for all the questions that you asked. Grateful for the opportunity to present to you and to hear a little bit of feedback. And just want to remind you in closing about the book room that's downstairs. Benchmark Books, for every book that is sold there, Sunstone gets a little percentage of. And by buying a book from
benchmark, you're actually contributing to Sunstone, so that's a great way to do it. And if you see anybody from Signature Books, Tom Kimball or any of the other team, I don't know if you had a chance to go to their summer barbecue today, hopefully. I mean, there was such a thing as a free lunch. And it was a great meal that they totally picked up the tab for, and please thank them for that if you have the opportunity. Also, we have an artist from California, Bob Lyons. If you've been to some of the presentations, we've been giving some of the sunstones to our speakers, the plenary session speakers and the panels. Those are actually for sale downstairs, and so if you'd like to pick one of those up and support him in that activity as well, that would be fantastic. Please make sure to fill out a survey. We'll be sending some things out online, as well as the paper surveys that are in, because we do value your opinion.
Jim, for that, if you have your, for the younger group, on your program, you'll see a QR code. Click on that. It will take you to an online survey. If you want to go directly at sunstonemagazine.com, and then it's 2014-sunstone-symposium-survey. It's not very fun. So this little code, if you click on that with your reader, it'll take you right to the survey, and that would be – the feedback is really important. It really helps us know, prioritize what we want to do.
And get these, because there's another QR code for a scavenger hunt where there are prizes involved. So make sure you scan it if you want a freebie.
Just like our staff meetings.
In which I interrupt.
So again, we're an organization of growth. We're looking forward to a great future, another 40 plus years, and with all of your love and support, we'll be able to get there. So thanks for being here today, and enjoy the rest of the symposium.